Cool. So, Juritas Tolpis, welcome back to RuPaul's Drag Race, our review here for Filth. This week, I'm joined by the entire cast. Nobody is sick. Go off.
Thankfully.
Amen, girl, yes.
Thankfully, we are still inside. We're still alive. And I'm still looking for a way out. So, this week, we have... Drama. I think this was like the most action-packed episode to date of this season.
Yeah. After I finished watching the actual episode, because I watched it on cable, which I usually don't do, but since I watched it on cable live, I was able to watch Untucked. But halfway through it, I knew that Untucked was going to be like a mess, and I was like waiting for it.
I think this is one where we should talk about Untucked, because Untucked was heated.
Yeah.
That's the main part of my notes.
Okay, yeah, let's get into that. We can talk about that.
So should we go Untucked first, or should we just go with the show and like breeze right through it?
Let's go show first, because it kind of lays precedent.
Okay, so Untucked. The show opens up, and of course, this week is like basically after the Rakim Sakura upset, and everybody walks into the room, and honestly I think people are really emotional because Rock having that crying moment was a lot, and I think a lot of the people in that room were kind of emotional, and it looked really real, especially for Jackie. My heart broke for Jackie when she talked about it. How did you all feel about, like, you know, Britta going up there and being like where she was like, you know, I really did that, and now that I'm like lip syncing, it just feels terrible. Like, how did you all feel about that?
I just like don't like delusion. I'm like not a big fan of it, and like self-awareness like has its own thing in this competition, and Britta seems to just not have that. So every time she talks about herself, I kind of want to roll my eyes, because I'm like, how are you not seeing certain levels of mediocrity that you're like trying to paint Aiden to have, and you can't even see it within yourself? So it kind of just makes me like,
my thing with what's her face, Britta, is like, she's legit just resting on what she's done before the competition so hard that she's not seeing like glaring mistakes she's making as a competitor. Girl, just listen to what they're telling you and try to do it. Mm-hmm. Like, why are you so focused on Aiden? Aiden is honestly irritating as hell. I'm not gonna lie. I totally get the frustration, but she just makes herself to be a bully every time now. It's like, it's almost like I almost want to root for Aiden now based on the way she's acting, which is ridiculous. Like, especially in the Untucked for episode 5.
Yeah.
It's which like, we'll get to.
Yeah.
Yeah. So then after that, like, the show starts up and we find out that they're going to do their, like, it's a Rue overacting challenge, which is, you know, basically like every other acting challenge, except this one, I think all the parts are funny for once.
I agree.
And I think that honestly, this was like the best cast of actors since like Bob the Drag Queen in her Rufus like acting challenge, which I thought was so fucking funny.
Oh my god. Just, Bob the Drag Queen during that scene where he was supposed to be Kitty, like, yes, that was everything.
He said, like, how you think about that one, bitch?
Like, iconery.
I stand iconery. Bob the Drag Queen. I can't. It's my favorite winner. Anyway, so yeah, they had this overacting challenge where it's basically like Gay's Anatomy, but it's Grey's Anatomy's parody. Who were y'all's favorites? Because honestly, Jackie did it. Sherry Pie did it. I'm sorry, people. Sherry Pie did that. Widow did that. And Gigi Good was giving me Margot Robbie realness.
Yeah.
Blonde wig.
Okay. I thought everyone was really funny, and I think that was actually like kind of annoyingly hilarious, was that always when it comes to people having to like cast the other girls, like if they're like the winner of the mini challenge, they have to end up casting everybody. There's always like the drama of like, oh, you didn't give me the part that I wanted, or you're trying to sabotage me and giving me this terrible part. And Widow's part, like, obviously it's not the one that she wanted, but like seeing it, I was like, this part was so easily for you. Like, you were so funny in it, and like just reading it, you would know that Widow would like slay at that part. And it was hilarious. She was like giving birth to the fucking glitter bomb. Like,
one of those moments where I was a little bit irritated with the like kind of the production of the show, because it felt like just produced for TV drama. Like the way she was so pressed that they didn't give her like this role that she wanted. And like the role, I think she says something about it not being like she wanted a more serious role. And I'm like, literally, what is serious about Sherry's role in this?
Yeah, it was like probably like the most campy out of all of them.
Right. And I'm like, you would have just been in a wheelchair sounding kind of like halfway sort of like
the same. Yeah.
Right. Like, I did not understand that at all. I thought it was just stupid, but I did love what she did with it. I think she was solid. And honestly, she should be thankful because she was safe. Not more than safe. She was one of the top, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think so.
She was one of the tops.
You know, Miss French Girl, my queen,
Nikki Doll. Woo, you know, Nikki my Doll. My opinion of her changed this episode quite a bit.
Mm-hmm. Okay, let's hear it.
I'll save it for Untucked. That's where the meat of like this whole conversation is, and then the whole production element. That's another thing I got to talk about with Britta in Untucked. So, we have this. You know, challenge happened. Then we get to the runway. Okay, I'm about to do something that I never do, except for when the girls call me out and I've already drank something. So, Aiden Zane, you kind of did that.
She did.
Fuck the wig comments. This is where the wig matched the look and elevated it, because no other hair could have made that look as better, as good as it did, than what she wore. The beret, the real moth, the horror movie reference, the velvet bodysuit, like this velvet versus Heidi's velvet cape. You can tell that when you have a multicolored cape, it looks really cheap. But when you have one velvet costume, all one color, it looks so expensive. It just... Wow. Like, Aiden, I have to say, you finally elevated yourself. My God.
Yeah.
I wasn't in love with it, but I don't disagree that it was good.
I love a good Silence of the Lambs reference. Like, that was really dope. And yeah, I think, like, the hat and the hair worked very well together. Like, a very short bob along with that, like, slanted hat that she had on, like it worked, which again, like Dolce, what you were saying, like a lot of times she wears that hair and it just doesn't work, and she wears it because it's her comfort zone or whatever. So I thought that she did amazing. I also really, really loved Crystal Method's runway.
Yes. True.
My only thing is that she was a little orange, like she was a like really tan for whatever reason. Okay.
She was giving Delray realness. Caputo loves a Lana reference. So
I do love a Lana reference, but like Lana
realness, bitch.
She was given something. But I loved the hair on her. Her makeup, they even mentioned it. It was like dialed down enough where it was still her makeup, but it was like not like clowny.
Yeah.
Just everything was painted nice. The floral, like Midsommar headdress she had, like. It was giving me it. I loved like the color of yellow that everything was. It was all like sheen and nice. Like she really looked like really pretty. I was really impressed with her.
She did look pretty. I think that's exactly the right word.
Yeah, she looked very pretty. With again, like it's all the not to say her looks before were not good. They just weren't pretty, and she looked really, really pretty. So
this is like a lust for life era for her. I think
very lust for life. I love it. I got my entire life from that.
Yeah.
That and then Jan, I thought was really funny. Jan, which is like pretty much every time I see her, I'm like, you're funny. Like you're just a funny person. You do funny things.
Cute. Like she just looked good. It was like a pretty outfit. It wasn't, I wouldn't say it was like something that I would die for, but I actually thought that it was actually probably the most wearable look out of all of them.
Yeah.
Like, I could see that.
She's just like such like a regular girl, which I think is the funniest thing about like being on a show where you're supposed to be this like bigger than life kind of character. But then she comes out on the runway and she literally runs down the runway and then just like looks around and then just like poses like
Yeah, it was very like Naruto run.
Yeah, it was like so funny though. She just like runs and then she just like stands there and just like goes like hand on the hip, like, hey, I'm Jam. Hey, like I'm it's Jam. Just so Jam. Funny. Like she's just like such a like little I don't really know how to explain it, but I just really like her energy. And Jan, I thought she was good.
Yeah, Jan reminds me of like that odd university girl who's like real kind of cool. And yeah. then she's still pretty somehow. Like not somehow, but I don't want to shade people like that.
Like she's the girl at like Tridel that lets all the faggots into the sorority parties and like gives them alcohol because like yeah. she loves a good faggot. Like that's her. That's Jan.
Yeah. Yeah, she's, like, making drinks. She's a bartender on the weekends.
Oh, yeah.
Puts herself through college and then, like, moonlights, like, as, like, I don't know, like, a therapist. But she's, like, really conventionally attractive, so you wouldn't expect her to be, like, a nice mm-hmm. person, but she's, like, actually, like, a badass. That's what, like, Dan gives me.
She definitely wasn't playing therapist during Untucked. She was playing the instigator, honestly, with that fucking shade button, but we'll get to that.
And then Julio, did you have anybody that stood out to you? I know you want to talk about Jada, just do it.
Girl, Miss Essence Hall, the essence of beauty. I just love Jada. I think she's sickening, and I thought her look was so pretty. It gave me like the energy that Stupid Love was trying to give, but like POC, like her face, the shoulders, like she gave you a different silhouette. One thing I like about her too is she's like experimental. She doesn't just do the same thing. Because I remember we talked about like Acuria and how like there's kind of like a sort of a parallel between the two, but I think that Jada is actually a little bit more experimental than some of the other girls that have that more like pageanty sort of veneer, right? And I love how like the way her wig is like kind of accentuates the sort of vertical nature of the shoulder pads as well. I was totally into it, so she's still one of the top for me.
Yeah. She looked amazing. She looked like royalty, like some fucking like parade shit. Like she looked so fucking good.
Duchess of Planet Fag.
I just love that style too of drag. Like it is very pageant, but like you can tell when the girls stick to straight pageant or they'll be influenced by the pageant world and then like take it somewhere further. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what Jada does. Like she is like, her mind is in so many different places that like she can't only stick to pageant, but you can tell those are her roots, you know?
Yes.
Or that's like kind of the base foundation. Cause I don't think she actually is like part of a family, is she?
No, she's not.
Yeah. So she's just kind of like inspired by a bunch of different things, but you can tell just like from her drag, it's very pageant inspired.
Yeah.
What I love about her is she manages to be like a beautiful woman, fishy queen, without losing what makes drag interesting to me, which is like transforming kind of what you expect people to be even doing with their femininity. Like she has like a very explorative sort of like, you know, daring sort of nature with regard to what she's willing to do, which I love because I expect someone who looks like her and acts like her to be a little bit more traditional. Yeah. So it's very surprising coming from her, which is awesome. And then also I've noticed, like, not to like get jump the gun on the Untucked stuff, but like she always comes out in the conversations as like a girl who's like, okay, let's get through this. Like we're gonna help each other out, but also let me beat this face real quick. Like she's very mature. Mm-hmm. I feel like she comes off most of the time.
Hmm. I think Jada has there's something about her pageantry that is, it's not like Kennedy, it's not like Acuria, it's not like anyone that we can look at. Like it has some semblances of it, but you can tell like behind the rhinestones and like the coiffed hair and the black hairspray hairlines, like, and she does the hairline pretty well, like compared to some people. But like behind all of that, she has other influences, and I like what you said where it's like she elevates it and does things differently and takes it to a place that we haven't really seen it before. And I can't wait to see more. The only thing that I wasn't a big fan of was like the shoulders. I thought those could have been a little bit smaller, just slightly. And also the peplums and the lining of the cape, I would have changed. But other than that, it was pretty much absolutely perfect. Like it was stunning. So let's get into the bottoms. Obviously, Heidi was in the bottom. Heidi was in the bottom. Nikki was in the bottom. And Britta. Britta.
Did we talk about Jackie Cox?
Her look. I mean, it was Cher, like Take Me Home album cover.
It was very Cher.
but it was a little less, it was like lower budget, but I mean, it was still nice all together. I liked her movement. But that was really it.
This is the first time she looked like a woman to me out of this entire No, and I'm not, you know how I say this every time. Not
yeah. No, she yeah, just yeah.
She has one of those faces that's just strong in makeup. And like the way she did it this time, whether it's putting it with that really, like, I think large sort of elaborate headdress might have balanced it out a little bit because she's just got a structured face. Whatever she did, like, I think she looks a lot more soft and feminine, whether that's intentional or not. And I think that's kind of what made this look work for me personally. And it's also just pretty.
It was really pretty. I think for Jackie Cox, though, with her runways, I think I'm waiting to be, like, wowed. Because every time I see her, it's more like a, like, oh my gosh, that's so nice. It's not like a, like it's not like a bitch, like, fuck me up. It's just like a, wow, like, you look really nice. You look really pretty. Like, I love what you did with this and this and this. And like, her look was really good. And I love a good Cher moment. I called her out last week for looking like Cher, so... And that's not at all any sort of shade. Like, I love Cher. And I think Cher is one of the fashion icons of the past century. So, I think, yeah, I just am waiting for her to really, like, blow me away. Because the girls that I really like this season have done that to me so far. Yeah. You know, Jada's done it. Even Jan, like, has done it, like... You know, like, so it's like, I think she needs to come out and like turn the runway and then like maybe like jaw to the floor and then I'll fully be Jackie Cox, like, stan. But she gets a pass. She did good.
Okay.
How about Widow? How do we feel about Widow's look on the runway?
Oh, I was going to skip through some of these just to kind of like keep the critical, like the critical theme.
I just want to know what y'all think because.
About the watermelon?
Honey.
It had its points. Whether the point was dotted with a period at the end, I don't know. There was a hyphen at the end. It felt a little unfinished. Like, there needed to be more added to it.
The reveal of, like, the tits. Like, I was... Even that, I was like, like, the underwhelmingness of this all.
The gag is, I was so here for the reveal of the tits because I think, like, she's one of the more truly kind of, like, body positive, I will wear what the fuck I want to wear type of queens. Mm-hmm. And I love that about her. I just don't think there's just been so few times that she's come out and, like, turned my head in the right way when she comes out. And this was, like, an opportunity, I think, that she had to do that. And it still just fell flat for me. I think what really could have been done better is if she had, like, more of an easy line between her neck, like if I could see her neck a little bit more, because she almost looks like her head was like planted right on top of her body because it's just
how it's cut. Yeah, how it's cut by her neck. I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, like her proportions, I think, is what is off for me with this. It's not necessarily that it's like a bad look. It's just like she could have, like Dolce said, just like put that period on there, like cross the T's, dot the I's type of thing. There's just certain little edits she could have made. And I think her face, this is the first time I was not in love with her face. I thought the makeup was just like giving just casket vibes.
I feel like the green was just not blended into her head very well either. Like it looked like it was, I could see where she had green on her actual skin to kind of blend into the hair, but it still looks like she's wearing a helmet.
Yeah, it looks very helmety right now.
It's very helmety. And, like, you're not supposed to be looking like you're wearing a helmet when you have, like, a bun slash ponytail moment going on.
I wonder if she had, like, 3 or 4 different wigs under there for her to rip off. Like, maybe she was giving you, like...
Maybe.
Preparing for lip sync.
I loved, like, the long... I love a long ponytail. Like, that's everything. And I think she could have utilized that more. You have this giant ponytail that, like, literally goes past your ass. And, like, you're not really... You could be swinging it around. You could be doing a little like Beyonce like movement, have it like wrap around or something. I just feel like it was an underutilized look.
This was giving like super bass, massive attack era type Nicki look, which could have been really, really good because it's been done before and there's like a blueprint for that. Mm-hmm. But this broke that blueprint in the wrong ways. And I almost slightly feel like because she's got such just like a nice, beautiful kind of like chocolatey color, her face almost seems way too light for what I used to, which is also part of what's kind of killing this for me a little bit. But
yeah.
Yeah.
The body looked good. Yeah, I'll say that. Her legs looked very good when she was walking down the runway. I could not stop staring. But yeah, something about the whole look itself, I was just like not feeling it.
It looks like a little disjointed. Like, I love the cape, the actual concept of it being a watermelon. But maybe that with like the spandex looking sort of arm is just wrong. Like, it's just something about the way that the idea was pulled together is what's wrong. Not necessarily the idea itself.
Mm-hmm.
It's like an execution thing.
Boot.
Oops.
it's a boot for me.
So let's talk about Britta, because that costuming was gorgeous. The hair was right. The body was right. As always, the body's right.
Body crazy.
You know what I think it is? It's just the sheerness of the cape, I guess, is what they tried to nitpick at, because this is a challenge. This was a category about capes, not about the dress. That's the only thing I can say makes sense of why Britta was in the bottom, because I don't think she should have been there, in my honest opinion.
I didn't like her in the acting challenge.
You didn't like her?
Mm-mm. Not really. Honestly, I think Aiden was kind of... I really hated Aiden's, like, Mae West impression. But by the end of it, I thought she was honestly more so carrying Britta.
Really?
By the end of that scene.
I take issue with that only because Britta actually had to appear, like she said, in, like, multiple scenes. And she actually had to remember dialogue and, like, give you different moments, which I think they said is where she failed, is that she kind of gave you the same note no matter what she was doing.
Yeah.
Definitely valid. But Aiden literally just shimmied a little bit and gave this really bad Mae West impersonation. And then
it was so bad.
Like, I just didn't understand why she wasn't there instead of, like, with Britta at least. Like, they should have been
there. Right. Mm-hmm. That's how I feel. I don't feel like either of them did a good job, honestly. But I think that by the end of it, I was at least getting more from Aiden than I was from Britta.
What Britta did nicely here, though, with this outfit is, like, she gave you a legendary body. This titty looks great, even though you could see a little bit of that padding when she turned the corner. That was a lot for me. Like, I don't know if you guys remember when she was turning the corner on stage, like, during the runway. Like, the padding was just clearly visible. So that was kind of weird. The cape, I agree, was way too understated for this look. And I think I wish that maybe if she had gone asymmetrical or diagonal with the cape instead of it going falling straight back, it might have gone over a little bit better, because it would have been more about, like, seeing the dress through the cape as opposed to it just being behind you.
Yeah. It looked more like a caftan than it did a cape. It was, like, a little too flowy, a little too sheer, you know?
I wish almost that she had it, like, around her neck, like, and, like, covering some of her wig. Almost.
Like a little, like, Little Red Riding Hood moment. Because that's what it was almost giving me.
Yes.
But, like, there was something about it that wasn't giving me the full thing. But she could have very easily gone Little Red Riding Hood and had that be her cape.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
But I think she just had a different, you know, vision with it. Also, like, Britta's, like, breastplates sometimes really be fucking with me.
Is this a breastplate?
The thing is, it's not a breastplate.
It's not a breastplate, honey. That's
it's her contouring.
It's her contouring. It's crazy. But then if you turn the corner, it was a whole pad just hanging out there.
Right. Oh, my God. But the thing is, it's, like, not centered. Like, the contouring.
I kind of stand. I won't lie. Like, I kind of stand. Like,
that's why I was thinking, like, oh, maybe her breastplate's just, like, shifting. But no, she really just contoured asymmetrical boobs, which honestly, you know. We stand, I guess.
Here, that the way that the cape cuts her arm, it gives this, like, arm silhouette, because she's, like, a large person. So the arm is so small that it almost looks like her breasts are, like, ridiculously huge, when really on her frame, they're probably normal looking, too.
I think I'm just scarred because I saw one of the, I think it was Entertainment Today videos on YouTube of all the girls. And in one of the videos, I think they were playing, like, guess that queen, like, who's the messiest, who's this, who's that, and they all, like, name one of the girls from the season. Her, like, breastplate was, like, completely visible, like, in whatever she was wearing. And she was right in the front, too. And I was like, girl, what is going on? So now I feel like I'm, like, just looking at her padding, like, every time because, like, I don't want to be, like, bombarded with it ever again.
Speaking of breastplates, what about Sherry's? That shit was just there. It was just, like, up there and in your face in the middle of her chest. Like, I have a breastplate. We know this. It's a thing. but that thing was aggressive too.
Yeah, she, I mean, she's also a girl that's like big and knows how to like work with her body. But like even the girls that know their body super well, like a breastplate, I'm going to assume, is like difficult to like get it to look super, super realistic and like blended in very well, especially if you're wearing something that's like not super covery. So yeah, it did look a little janky, but yeah, like I don't know, like I feel like I'm still getting into like understanding like how to use a breastplate and like how these different queens are using it with their different looks. And now I'm kind of like trying to nitpick on it.
I feel like the first person I saw that was using a breastplate that actually did it well was Morgan McMichaels. Morgan McMichaels used the breastplate for everything. And like, I think hers were the most realistic, even though I knew it was a breastplate. Does that make sense?
And she's like a small girl. So she would have to get like, I guess like a smaller one. I see like a lot of like bigger girls or like just like larger people that do drag. Like they use breastplates a lot, and it kind of looks a little bit more natural because it just works with their like the curves that they already have.
Yeah.
I feel like a lot of the skinny girls love doing like a boy body look, which, or just doing the contour boobs, which are fine.
Yeah, sometimes it works. Sometimes those are fine, and they look more natural. Like not every woman is sitting around with these knockers, just like punching you in the retinas every time they turn a corner. Like some girls just have like just boobs that are just right there, and that's it.
That's it.
I feel like as long as the titties are shaded in, the light hits that little, you know, middle part, right, and it was glistening. Listen, like, you know, it shouldn't be this huge thing. But
my biggest thing, and sometimes it does work, like Nikki Doll, she didn't like contour anything with her tits, but like my main thing when people do the contour tits is like it has to be something that's like kind of like form fitting to your body, where it already looks like the boobs really aren't the main piece. But sometimes like people have like outfits or like tops that like kind of rest like over their body as if boobs were supposed to be there, and they still do the contour boob, and I'm like, well, now this looks silly because like your garment is calling for tits, but your
or contour, when the garment is moving with them as they're moving and it's not sitting there, so it's like, what the hell?
Yeah, exactly.
Gives me very, it's actually sickening to me a little bit. It depends on the proportions though. Like that's not,
it
like
does.
You would have enjoyed Pheromone's all white silver look at her finale then.
True. Yeah.
Which I stan, I mean, Pheromone.
I love Pheromone.
I stan Pheromone. Oh my God.
What a bitch.
So yeah, the two bottom girls were Heidi and Nikki. Obviously Nikki had the better look, which was like very 90s Mugler. Her inspiration, according to her, was Joan of Arc, which, you know, I can kind of see it because of the cape, but it just like Britta, it was a little sheer and unnoticeable. So I thought that was a problem. But other than that, the look was exquisite. It was very I also love the idea that this episode, Normani gave you all the Black references. It's the first time there was ever a Black woman on the panel this season. I'm so happy. Oh wait, other than Leslie Jones, whoops,
and Nicki Minaj.
So I guess that's
all black women except for one.
In like 2085, when we start realizing it's not the first shit anymore, and it's just like, this is gonna be the first Black. Oh, never mind.
I forgot. Well, you know what? Like, Normani was giving you all the Black references, and she was like, yes, this is very Beyonce, like Sweet Dreams, or I love this is very Diana Ross, yada, yada, yada. Like, somebody was finally giving Black references and like not the stereotypical racist ones. But
I think it's so funny, speaking of references, that they are constantly, or RuPaul mostly, is always talking about how Crystal Method's mullet is like a DeBarge, like Jerry Curl moment.
They even played the song this episode.
They even played it, which killed me.
I hate that because RuPaul is constantly taking nigga shit and mixing it with other people's shit. And I'm like, girl, I don't trust you. You don't need to be doing this. Like, you keep that shit separate. Don't make this joke. It's not your joke. Go somewhere else. Like,
okay, but like DeBarge, that was like RuPaul's era. RuPaul, you know, that's her shit. Girl. But that I thought it was just funny because, like, honestly, when I first saw her, I really did think that, like, you really look like a DeBarge, like, sibling right now with this fucking hair. And this is, yeah, and that's going to be her thing, you know? Everyone's got their thing that the show likes to run into the ground, and that's going to be Crystal's thing.
Normani looks so fucking beautiful, by the way. Like, if we just, like, give her a second to sit there, like, God, I was so mad because I was sitting there with my roommate and he was like, don't they usually play like the girl, like the guest stars, like songs or music on the stage, like when the girls are doing a runway for lip sync? And I was like, oop.
Well, sometimes they do, sometimes they don't, though.
But it's weird. It's just because of the conversation around Normani's music and the need for a first album and all this shit. It's just so annoying that they miss the opportunity to just, like, play Motivation or some shit like that, right, for them. I just
think you do know that, like, Normani's team just does not want to promote her in the way that they need to be, you know? Like, they need to be pushing her in ways that it seems to be, like, refusing to do. So, I don't know. Maybe it was on them. Who knows? But they really could have played Motivation. They really could have
done that. She had an amazing performance for Motivation where she did some shit that drag queens be doing on the stage. Like, it would have been such a perfect lip sync song.
I feel like Heidi would have killed that, too.
I mean, Heidi killed...
Yeah, not saying she didn't kill her lip sync.
She was gonna kill Nikki Doll no matter what the fuck was on that fucking stage. I'm sorry. Nikki Doll was one of my favorites this season, just look wise alone. I thought she was sickening, but like, oh, and also when she got on the runway and like pulled that garment or that cape or whatever the fuck it was off and like just started walking, I said, what is this woman doing here in this drag show? Like,
yeah,
yes. Full like cis woman doing here on this drag show. Like, she was. Yeah. So crazy looking. Like, I literally had to rewind 3 times because she just gave you model on the runway. Like, this wasn't even RuPaul anymore.
The fact that she was wearing like the vintage Mugler, like, it just gave me Paris Fashion Week, which she always does, but even more so than usual. And then like her hair, her makeup, it just was really giving me like French model. Like, you are a model walking down the runway as a woman of, like,
if you're gonna
say something,
go on.
There's something about authentic fashion pieces on the runway where it's made by small Chinese children. Like, the cut is different. The fit is different. The thickness of the material is different. It's a different quality when it steps onto the runway and you can see it and you're like, damn, that's not just some knockoff bag you spray painted at home, you know, in your $2,000 a month apartment that you're barely affording in New York City. No, that's like a legitimate... That's a real Prada. Like, that's a real Chanel bag. Like, you're doing it.
That's a real feminism, girl. And genuinely, the way she looked on stage, and just her face, like, as much as they dragged her for quote unquote not being goofy or funny or whatever bullshit, like, the bitch is sickening. Like, she looks crazy in a good way. Like, she looks fucking absolutely bonkers. Like, her legs on stage.
Yeah.
Her
they were moisturized. She used Aveeno.
Listening, bitch.
Okay, the ceramides were in that moisturizer. She looked like she threw on some the sheen, the spray, the glitter spray, or the bronzer spray, or highlight. I don't know what she did, but those legs were like $1 million insurance, Mariah Carey per leg.
Literally,
I swear, I dropped 2 points on the Kinsey scale watching that shit.
Yeah, did you watch her makeup tutorial?
No, because I dropped 2 points, so I wasn't gonna watch that. Oh.
Spectrum like, dropped you from your internet.
I'm so much closer to straight now. Straight
now, why would I fucking watch that makeup tutorial? The fuck? No, it was sickening. She was. I should watch.
My one thing is that I wish she could have kept the cape on for longer, or like maybe like put it into her outfit more, because I feel like that's what the judges were like really getting on her for. And I agree. Like, when I saw her, I literally forgot it was a cape challenge. Like, when she walked out, and she was, like, one of the last girls. So I was, like, I had seen so many capes, and then the minute I saw her, I was, like, what challenge is this again? Like, is it a cis woman challenge? Is it a, like, look like a fucking model challenge? Like, what's going on?
Might be kind of
in a good way, in a good way.
She have done, like, a Valkyrie kind of thing, Dolce, where, like, she put almost, like, a waist, like, almost like a skirt or, like, an open skirt or something in the back, almost like a train instead. Like, she could have done other things with that where it wasn't just literally like a cape flying back behind her. that would have maybe incorporated that more into the look and made her sort of fit the bill for the challenge a little bit better.
I think if she had just walked to the end of the runway, it would have been fine. Because that look was so good that it was one of the looks where it was like, fuck the category once she gets to the end. Like, as long as you fulfill the challenge of like, here is a cape. I am wearing a cape. Whatever you throw off afterwards or what you put on afterwards, like the look honestly slayed me so much. I just don't care. It was good. Yeah. It was authentic. It was quality. Like, I can't be mad at Nikki Doll. It's one of the things that changed my, because I was dragging her these past couple episodes of this review, but my opinion has changed of her quite a bit. So then that lip sync,
okay, girl,
that my opinion on that didn't change. She still doesn't have energy. But I think, first of all, it's Kim Petra's heart to break. Like, It's not a super upbeat song, but you definitely can do some, you can do some things to it. And I think Heidi, of course, was a definite winner. There's no question about it. She really did that. Even when her wig fell off, she put it right back on, and and it was on the correct way. The hairline was sitting in the right place. I had to give her that. It looked better than her first wig that she had 2 hours to put on the first episode. Even when it fell off, so I gotta give her that.
I even knew too, because I've seen this kind of, you know, lip sync before. You got the boring girl, and you got the girl that, you know, might not be super polished, but you know she can turn it out. She's a lip sync assassin. And I knew just by the energy that Heidi was giving, I just had a premonition that the wig was coming off. Like, I just had I felt it in my spirit that like the wig was gonna be on the floor. Or in Fifi O'Hara, she just throw it up and get it caught in the rafters. Who knows? But I knew by one point in that lip sync, the wig was not going to be on her head. And then she did that like roll thing. And there it was. The wig cap was out on TV. And I was like, ooh.
The spirit of Monique Hart was really on that stage.
The thing is, like, I just love having like the list of the girls whose wigs just fly off during lip syncs, because like they're all iconic lip syncs. Like, if you really break it down, like most of the lip syncs where the wigs come off, like they're iconic in their own right.
That's from the likes of RuPaul, in my opinion. Also, I like Heidi because she didn't do what there was something I criticized Widow for doing during her lip sync. Where, like I said before, she kind of just like took every single possible tool, like tool she had, and just dumped it on the table. Like, Heidi gave you a choreo sort of moment. Like, she gave you combinations, she gave you flowing movements. Like, she wasn't just up there splitting every 5 seconds to show that she could do it. Like, it was like very much to the energy of the song. So she killed that. She killed Miss Nikki Doll on every level on that, in that regard.
There's one move that will always tickle my heart in a lip sync, is the sliding split. Like, if you can do that and you pull that shit out in a lip sync, you're getting my win. Like, you're getting a 10 from me. Like, it's everything. Katya, I think, did it the best. I forget what the fuck the song was.
Oh, in the airplane outfit?
Yeah, what was it?
Oh, it was Olivia Newton-John.
Physical?
No. Oh my god. Shut up. Magic? No. Yes. Magic.
I forget. But it was something.
It's in my head and I have it. Fuck. Angel, where are you?
Regardless, that lip sync when she does that, it's so slow and she just like
twist the fate.
Yeah, you're right. Okay. Never mind.
Sorry, I had to.
That's it. But it's like that move will always get me like falling in love, because it's like such a just perfect way to just pull it all together. You do a split, you a trick, a jump, whatever. But that is just like, and that's difficult to do. So if you're able to do that and like have it fit into a slow song or an upbeat song, like fuck me up. Go off, Heidi.
Heidi snapped. Like, I just wonder if she could have killed the legendary fucking
Britta
Naomi Smalls. Like, I just think about when she did that slide across the floor, it was very much like Naomi Smalls in
All Stars. It was.
And I want to know
like the little leg kick.
Like, yes, like I want to know who would have killed who in that lip sync, because they both were kind of legendary in the lip syncs. Probably Naomi would have won, but
probably another day. Naomi would have actually knew all the words too,
and she would have been way more sickening on the runway.
And more sickening on the runway.
Yeah. So now that we're out of the show, let's just talk about it. That Untucked, like, bitch. It opens up with the top girls, not any of the bottom girls, just the top girls going to the back. And when they sat down, I knew some shit was going to go down because they started talking about the shade button. And I was like, someone in the producing, whatever, was like, okay, ladies, someone talk about this thing. Jan, I'm glad you're a normal girl because you're able to get up and do that walk all the way back and forth. Because if it was me, I would have been sitting right there in the chair and I would have been like, producers, y'all do it. I'm not doing it.
At a certain point, I think Jan just like stayed over by the shade button because she just had to keep pressing it. She was like, there's too much going on.
Yeah.
Everyone's throwing shade at everybody, mostly at Aiden, but...
Yeah. It opens up and Jackie obviously asks Aiden, like, you know, how she felt about the performance. And then, of course, she then said, like, you know, no shade. Jan gets up. You know, she didn't actually expect Aiden to be safe or in the top at all because, you know, in terms of performance, she thought that she wasn't up there. Allegedly, which I mean, I think that runway is what really like set her over the top, and the performance was meh compared to the person that she was with in the scene. Yeah. And she also didn't understand the Mae West reference, but I mean, oh well, you know, Alaska has something to say about that. So yeah, that happened, and then there was a lot of foreshadowing going on until finally the bottom girls come in and all hell breaks loose because Britta is from New York and she has won Entertainer of the Year. Okay. And she has, you know, she does not understand how she's in the bottom, and she, you know, is standing up there with her sisters and has to pick out someone that's not on the stage that she thinks is not the girl to be out. I got this monologue because she really did it.
She delivered that. She did deliver.
How do y'all feel about Britta coming after Aiden? Because there's a lot of bullying statements going on online, and I only half agree.
Here's the thing. Britta is a bully. She's a bully. Yeah. It doesn't change whether she's right or wrong. I think she's 100% right with regard to Aiden. Mm-hmm. But she's a fucking bully. The way she attacked Aiden, the way she rallied these girls against this person, and has been... And the thing with bullying is it's not like a single event. It's not like the one time that you were an asshole or that you were just passionate about how right you were about a situation. It's like doing that stuff systematically. And she's doing this on television in front of a bunch of people, low-key four clicks. And like Aiden is clearly irritated by it and has said multiple times, like, I don't know what to tell you. I'm not the judge. So... here I am, here you are. Like, it only, there's only so long you can keep doing that before I'm gonna have to be like, girl, you're kind of an asshole. And so she's right. She is not wrong about the situation. Aiden did deserve to be in the bottom. In my personal opinion, her performance was nothing to write home about. And Aiden's overall performance as a queen has been lackluster at best. And even with a cute look, she had an old ass wig on. So they should have dragged her for that. And they did not. Okay. So that's just on period. But Brit is a bully.
My main thing, and I really think they just didn't put Aiden in the bottom because they didn't want everyone to say Aiden.
Like, I almost feel like that's tea.
I think, because the thing what I was so confused about is that Crystal Method looked gorgeous on the runway, got stellar reviews.
Yep.
And then during the challenge, she wasn't like one of the like most like amazing people that acted, but like they were still giving her good reviews on her acting. I forget who it was that said, like, oh, when she was, like, behind... Heidi. She was behind Heidi, and she, like, propped herself up when they were walking. Like, that was funny. They literally said, like, you were funny doing that. Like, you were a funny person. So you got a good review, like, you know, good average review on the challenge. You have great reviews on your runway, and you're still in the bottom.
Makeup improved.
Like, everything is, like, improved. And, like, Aiden, like, gave you kind of the same thing she's been giving you, just like a slightly more elevated runway, and she was safe. So I didn't get that because, again, like I was looking at the, I guess, like what, five of the girls that were in the bottom, And I was like, why is Crystal even here? Like, I know that she's not in, like, in the bottom two. Like, I know that for a fact. She's going to be the first one safe. Like, and then she, like, I think she was the first one safe, maybe. But I just, like, didn't get it. And I think that's why. Because if Aiden was in the bottom five, everyone would have said her.
You know the sad thing, though? What makes Britta's statements hit different is that Britta is not a top contender in this competition.
Yep.
If she was actually a top contender, if she was Jada, if she was fucking Gigi Good, if she was Jan, if she was basically any one of the girls who's actually doing something in the competition right now, it would have hit a little different because we would have seen how there's a direct correlation between her failure as a contender and Aiden. Aiden is actually a problem, but that's not why Britta's floundering right now in this competition. And that's what falls flat for me. It's like, you're just blaming this person for something you're just not really able to like accept for yourself. Is that, hey girl, like, you're from a big ass city and you got a lot of shit going for you, but like in this particular competition it hasn't translated.
It just sounds like she's bitter.
She's bitter as hell, but the thing is,
she sounds very bitter.
She's also not trying to take accountability for her own personal, you know, success or not. Like, that's the gag with her.
She's kind of giving me Aja on her season, but the thing is, she was coming for Valentina, who was doing very well.
Because, like, she's perfect. She's beautiful.
She's perfect. Looks like
Angelina. She's a model. Oh, did you stone those tights? Oh, she's smiling. They eat her up every single time she's on that damn stage. She could go out there and wear a fucking diaper and they'll be like, Valentina, you're smiling.
Smile is beautiful. Oh my god.
I know every monologue of this show.
That's what I'm saying, though. Like, it's coming from like the same place but for different reasons, because Britta is insecure on the fact that she's not doing well, but Aiden is continuing to be safe in the competition. And then Aja was insecure about her not doing well in the competition because of Valentina getting all these like rave reviews. So it's like, it's still the same kind of like bitterness that Britta, I think, like, Britta's just like insecure about where she's at in the competition.
Britta was like, I try so hard. I'm here killing, busting my ass, doing all this, doing that. It's like, that's what got me, like, that's what sort of hit me different with her commentary. It was like very much so like, I deserve to be winning right now, and I'm not. Like, I'm from New York. I'm that girl where I come from. Like, this is my shit. And Aiden is like this lazy, like, good for nothing drag queen from like who the fuck knows where with no reputation coming into this competition and like outdoing me, and I'm not here for it. Like, that's what it sounds like to me, basically.
Yeah.
Which, that might be true, but I don't think that the one particular point about her doing well outside of the context of Aiden being there is right. I don't think that that's actually what's happening. She's not doing that great.
Right. You know what? I have a different, as I'm hearing you talk, my opinion shifting just slightly, but I don't want it to shift all over the place because I don't want to be that,
I don't want to be contradictory.
Either. Yeah. I don't want to be contradictory, but I think like part of it is that I keep remembering that I'm looking at a produced show, and that when I think about Britta's confessionals, there's a lot of level changes whenever she says New York. I feel like anytime that it's in there, it's spliced.
Oh, I hope not.
Like, you can tell that a lot of them are spliced. You can also tell that, like, in the beginning, there was a part where she was talking about how she was in the bottom. And then she said, like, oh, I'm from New York. But she was saying it while she was crying. And I was like, it's two different splices. Like, you can tell that they're being very messy with the splice. But the idea is to get in a reaction from the audience and to make Britta seem very destructive in the way that she's doing certain things. And for me, some of it, I guess because it's true, I'm not thinking of it as terrible. And plus, when you were saying like, oh, she's rallying the other girls against her, the other girls are already kind of against Aiden.
But that's kind of the whole problem with it, is why it's bullying to me, right? It's like a systematic, almost like she can't catch a break in the competition because the girls literally will not leave her alone. Literally everyone is attacking me. The Britta is this very loud, very vocal queen who at almost every episode has come for her directly. which I love. Like, I love direct girls. Have you noticed that?
Well, one of them, she didn't come at her directly. Like, one of them, it was more or less like the producers asked them, and Sherry and Britta were like sharing their opinion.
She said, and then, of course, we carried you. Yeah. She's still referring
okay,
to
but they did.
But the thing is,
I don't think that's more of an attack.
No, but I said, like, I'm not telling you she's wrong. Like, I'm definitely separating the two conversations. Like, to me, you can be 100,000% right about what you're saying. Like, Britta Timmy has not lied to Aiden about Aiden's performance. Like, I'm probably the most critical one here of Aiden. I just don't think she's going about this in a way that is outside the realm of bullying. Like, I think she is bullying the girl.
I think so, but I don't think every time she addresses the fact that, like, she's underperforming, I don't think every time is bullying. There's definitely moments where she has definitely bullied this girl. But, like, especially that time when her and Sherry, like, I don't think that was bullying.
I think that, like, when it's systematic like this and it happens over a period of time in several episodes, it's bullying. I don't think that each individual time she said something is bullying. I don't think that anyone saying something is bullying.
It's more like a psychological thing.
Aiden,
because I'm honestly surprised that we haven't seen. I'm surprised we haven't seen Aiden like cry yet, because of all of it.
Aiden also is benefiting from this very like entitled sense of like I belong here type of energy. Which I think is also the reason why a lot of us don't care that she's being bullied, is because she's like, I'm here, so y'all bitches can shut the fuck up. Like, da 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 da. Like, there's no sort of like sitting there and reflecting on your actual performance and thinking, huh, like, what do I need to do differently? So I think that's also too where Aiden loses, because Aiden's attitude is very obstinate, like, I'm here, the judges know what they're doing, period. Whereas we all know that there are times where judge critiques are questionable. You know what I'm saying? Like, she could have easily been...
Most
of
the time, they're questionable.
Right, in my opinion, they are always questionable because I hate, I hate this fucking show. But there's also, like... I just feel like Aiden could have easily just been like, hey, Britta, you know what? I see where you're coming from. I think you've done amazing in this competition. But I just feel like the judges are just... You know, they have their feelings about me, and I'm just going to have to go with the rich critiques. Like, this is a game. And that's all it is. Like, it doesn't have to be this, like, bitch, shut the fuck up, I'm here, period. But I know it's hard to do that in the moment when like 48 girls are yelling at you. It's like a catch 22.
Yeah.
Well, mind you, only two girls are yelling at her.
But that's, I mean, Britta is like four girls, to be honest. And like, that's not shame.
I was immediately like, damn, fat shame.
No, she's just a large woman. Like, I'm a fat girl, so I'm not fat shaming this girl. Like, she looks sickening, she looks amazing, blah, 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 blah. But like,
no, Britta, see, when Britta's giving her opinion, she reminds me of you just slightly.
That's fine. With that said, my point is that when someone is right, they can be right. But like, there are times when it's just going to come off a certain type of way. And it's not that Britta is wrong to be a New Yorker and to be loud and to be opinionated. I love that. I like that about her character. I just think that it's very clear that every single time that they've engaged, Aiden has been like, girl, stop. Like, I don't want to do this. Leave me alone. Like, and to me, that's a clear signal that like, each time it happens, it's becoming a pattern of bullying. And that's what I'm talking about. It's not the individual instances that I have a problem with. It's like a thematic pattern. And doing that with other people with cameras on, it's just like, that puts anybody in a weird ass position.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Interesting. How do you all feel about Jackie's trying to explain why the girls are kind of nitpicking, or at least like not standing up for Aiden?
I think that like she explained it way better than Britta ever could, but her bullying. Because I feel like everyone is kind of like had their own problems with her, like sleeping, for example. All of them kind of chimed in, or not all of them, but a lot of other girls, not just Britta, had something to say about her pretty much like putting together this corset for maybe like the first hour that they were working on their stuff, and then sleeping for the rest of the time while everyone was working, and then her ending up being safe when she probably shouldn't have. And a lot of people, especially the girls on the show, thought that she shouldn't have been safe. So I can see, I think Jackie's trying to be like the mother hen, like not too involved in the drama, but still kind of set you straight in a way, because because Aiden was a lot more responsive to Jackie than she was to any of the other girls.
The thing is with that, in conversations like this, when there's multiple sort of people who are all trying to be heard, you have different personalities clashing. So like, I think it's really easy to like demonize one personality and like make another one seem good when they're both operating in the same way in this sort of conversation, right? Like Jackie is still a part of this conversation. Britta's still a part of it. And Jackie probably says the right words and the right stuff and massages it just right. And then goes and like says, yeah, Britta, you're right, girl. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like that's probably all happens too. So it's hard for me to really be like one person did something right or wrong. But I do think there's something to be said about knowing that like at some point you still have to be responsible for your own part in the competition. Like what I think Britta is really doing wrong isn't necessarily being angry. It's the fact that like all of what she's saying, at least the way it's being presented on air, is like, you're the reason why like I'm not doing as well as I could be doing. Like that's the way it's coming off. And I think that's what my real issue with it is. It's not even necessarily that she's being an asshole about it, because I don't think that that's like inherently some evil thing. Like some people are just not cute when they're pissed off. Like that's just it. But like Britta's basically like, girl, you're the reason why like you're basically like, what was it she said about like, oh, clearly this is a game. Like this isn't like sisterhood or whatever bullshit she was saying about like the competition. She was like, oh, we got to all be playing our game now. Like suddenly she's got to be cutthroat and evil and shit just because like the judges for some incomprehensible reason like Eden.
Mm-hmm.
It just, the logic behind that to me just seems very strange and it doesn't make sense.
I mean, the judges are pretty much like saving Aiden because they see something in her or whatever, but that only can go for so long. And I think that the judges have definitely kept people on the show for longer than they needed to be because of that fact, and then didn't give that same like benefit of the doubt to other people, you know?
That's true.
And I just, at this point, I don't see it for Aiden. Like, I don't think she deserves the benefit of the doubt anymore. Maybe in the first couple episodes, you know, because I've been critiquing her and that wig from episode one.
Same.
You know, like, I was told to calm down, but I was on that shit from the first episode.
Who said,
like,
who said that, girl?
Run the tapes.
Hello? At her, bitch.
Run the footage. The
roll the footage. Deadass.
Deadass.
I'm just saying that, like, you know, from the beginning, you were already able to tell, like, okay, like, this girl has things to work on, and she's continuously shown us that she's not willing, not even able, she's not willing to do that. So now it gets to the point where the judges have to stop giving her chances, and they just have to make her lip sync. If she kills the lip sync, maybe that'll give, you know, give her a fire under her ass, because that's sometimes what the girls need. Sometimes the girls need to be, like, about to be home, you know, like, one foot out the door, and then they get this whole confidence moment. Maybe that's what she needs, but she needs to lip sync. Like, I'm done.
I almost feel like she needs, going back to your previous point, they know she's gonna bomb the lip sync and look stupid.
Mm-hmm. Like, and that's why.
Girl, how long has she been here? Like, I agree, the girl needs to go. Like, that's just the tea. And Britta's mad about something that's true, which is that Aiden has kind of been like almost like an assassin.
Coasting. Yeah.
She's been coasting, and she's been almost like an assassin for better queens. Like, there are girls there who have better, more polished looks, who have lots more talent to display on the show than what they're allowed to do in these stupid, corny-ass challenges. Nikki, like, so I just feel like the anger is justified. It's just sort of like, how productive is this? Like, that's when it, to me, just seems like it's for the camera. And it also is just feeding this really sort of, like, delusional self-image where it's like, girl, I know where I am and who I am, and, like, you're nothing, and, like, how the fuck are you here and I'm like not doing well, kind of a thing. Like, it just feels like that. And maybe that, like Dolce said, maybe it's just the way that they're portraying it on screen.
And the other thing is, like, I'm fine with someone being like, yeah, this person is here doing this and I'm trying my hardest and somehow nobody's noticing it. And I understand that.
Yeah.
Like, maybe I'm bitter.
I mean, we and I'm all fine get with that, girl.
Maybe I'm fine with that.
We all get that.
Like, Y'all know I am. Y'all know I want to destroy the world because I just don't like the idea that I'm treated unfairly. But, you know, it's cause and effect. Like, if something happens, me destroying the world, you can't really be mad when I'm, like, burning you alive. I don't know where I'm going with this, but yeah. But anyway, no, but for real. Like, Britta, I'm not mad at what she's saying. I just think, of course, like, the way she's saying it is, it's a little abrasive. And I think the delusional component is making it harder for people to hear what she's saying, because they're focusing in on how bad Britta's doing. If Britta was doing well and she was saying this, people would have a different take on how Britta is saying these things.
Literally, let Jan say it.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. Jan did say it. Jan said it. Gigi said it. Jackie has said it.
Yeah.
Jada has said it.
Everybody chimed in.
Exactly.
You know? And no one was mad at Jackie for like bringing it up in that way. You know? I think people are just getting annoyed at Britta because she is always talking about it. It's not like Jackie always talks about it or any of the other girls are always talking about it, but it's always Britta. And Britta doesn't really have, you know, the performance track record
been the biggest to upset back it up. Of the whole cast, which is what pissed me off about Britta. Britta is literally the most upsetting one to me of the whole cast because I remember when I first saw her, I was expecting her to be like a whole rock star. And she's just been kind of like not really hitting. It just hasn't been landing. And it's not only the judge critiques, it's actually genuinely just her performance too. It's like a combination of the two. Like the pineapple look, like that is not the type of shit that we were expecting from a girl like Britta.
At first. After the first couple episodes, I didn't really have any problem like seeing it. Like I was like, oh, okay, like I've kind of expected this. But at first, what I will say is that when I saw her in Meet the Queens and even the first episode, I was like, you're gonna give it to me because you're a New York queen and you're this and you're that, you know? It's kind of, I don't know.
It just sucks.
It lets me down.
Someone who's done that, who's had this performance, like Dolce and I said before, like someone of this, who's doing this in the competition has a lot more to be worried about than Aiden Zane. Like Aiden Zane is a part of the problem, but like there's also just like literally like getting realistic about the judges' like actual desires and requirements for you. Like that's just the point. Everyone else is somehow managing to do well and you're the only one who isn't, and it's only because of Aiden.
All I need is a Britta Aiden lip sync and
when Britta changes from her dress into that baseball outfit and you're like, what the hell did she put that on for? And then she breaks out a baseball bat and she's like, I'm finally gonna take this baseball bat from this white bitch's face.
Oh my god.
I'm about to fuck y'all thought I was from New York. I didn't tell you I was from the Bronx, bitch. Like mention something funny, just to be funny, because I want to end it on like slash a good note, but I also want to talk about something else.
Okay.
Shout out to the Brock ally, Dahlia Sin.
Oh my god, the Brock ally, I'm dead.
when they rolled her in, I cackled so hard. RuPaul cackled so hard. It was amazing.
No, that shit was funny as fuck.
It was so funny. Like, bring that shit back. Like, get that outfit and put it in a photo shoot. Honestly,
I really hate because no matter how pretty she was during her episodes, that's what she's gonna be known for broccoli. For the whole season. Like, she's gonna be known as the sexy broccoli for the entirety of season 12, and it just kills me because she's so stunning. It's so unfair.
It's really unfair. That's the real.
I can't wait to see her on PBS as like the Brock ally. Like, you know, eat your food, kids. Like, eat your vegetables. I'm a sexy Brock ally. I love that.
If she doesn't come to the reunion dressed up in an actually couture broccoli like look, I will be upset. I think she needs to turn it couture and play off of the joke, and then that would be everything.
Girl, she needs broccoli fiber dress material. Like, she needs to give you like.
Bitch. Oh
my She's God. Vegan now. Anyway.
So for the last thing, let's talk about Nikki Doll and her interaction with Heidi. I thought it was so sweet and so I don't want to say it was powerful, but I just thought it showed a side of Nikki where it was like she legitimately
was a good person.
Was just yeah.
Yep.
How did you feel about that?
I love Nikki Doll. Like Nikki Doll. I liked her since the beginning. I think you know the show so well that you were pretty accurate when you said like you thought she wouldn't last as long as she maybe could have. And so I was really sad to see her go. But like, honestly, the way she handled leaving was like the complete opposite of Dahlia Sin. Like, the girl is giving therapy. The girl is giving the girls like energy and just love and just like a crazy look. Like, her look was crazy. Like, to see someone like that go down the runway and know that she didn't come out there cursing and like fucking, you know, like shutting the place down the way Britta was going off. Like, I think that just shows kind of the level of maturity that we didn't get to see from her, maybe. in the challenges or whatever, which was really nice. Like, I was saying this before, but like Jada, for instance, is one of the girls who I feel like always kind of finds a way to sort of like level things back and like sort of say her piece and really like help the other girls out, but then like it gets back to work. You really saw that Nikki was like, okay, this is the competition. If I go, it is what it is. Like, you're solid, you're important, and it is what it is. Like, she wasn't like toxic in any way, which I really respected from her.
And that's kind of like the main reason why I was so shocked that everyone said her when they were asked like who should go home. Like, because I just feel like as like a contender and a contestant, like, or a co-star or whatever, like in the competition, I feel like she had pretty much made a lot of friends. She was never the girl that was like going after anyone. It was always kind of like to herself, but like, you know, like it was never something where she was cut off from anybody, and everyone knew how like quote unquote goofy she was or whatever. And that was the biggest thing. Like, you don't see how she is in the workroom or whatever. But I was shocked, honestly, because of that fact. I was like, damn, like you have such a better outlook on everything than someone like Dahlia did, where she literally didn't even stop and say anything when she walked down that runway. She said, I'm already gone. Like, don't even look at me. Don't talk to me. Like, I'm pissed. So
Dahlia couldn't even believe she was in the bottom two when she was eliminated.
Yeah, that delusional shit.
She was still trying to figure out, like, did I actually just get in the bottom two? She had already lost. She was packing her bag. And she's like, was I in the bottom two? She didn't even get to the part. Yeah, but I'm sexy
Brock ally.
Sexy broccoli.
The thing is,
what too, an icon.
Nikki was self-aware. And the sad thing is, the reason that I think they all said Nikki was because Nikki committed kind of like the faux pas of the challenge, which was to ask for your lines multiple times, because that was the one sort of like thing that Britta said to Aiden, which was like, hey, you know, you missed your line. Like, why is it that you're not down here with the rest of us who did that? You know what I'm saying? So yeah. Nikki, I think, was kind of the obvious choice because of that. But Nikki had a very clear reason why that was, which is like the language barrier and the fact that like this is literally not in her language. And there's just like this sort of disconnect, I think, even culturally, from what we expect her to act like versus what the other girls act like, which I think they don't talk about enough on the show either.
Like, the way, and when they did bring it up, there was a lot of eye rolling, which unfair. I didn't understand from like someone like Crystal, who's Mexican, or like Britta, who's Polynesian, like Hawaiian. Like, they just didn't, sometimes it just felt a little, it just felt like the cards were stacked against her. Mm-hmm. And anytime you complain, if you complain, you lose. If you just sit there and shut up, you lose. It kind of doesn't matter. It's very much like America's Next Top Model. Like,
oh, yeah.
If you stand up to Tyra, it's a problem. If you don't, you go home.
And I've always said this, like, every person that, like, English isn't their first language and it's on the show, I always have a soft spot for them, no matter, like, no matter how they perform, honestly. Because it's so difficult, especially on a show where, like, everything is so, I won't say it's scripted, but I think the producers do a good job of setting things up, setting scenes up, setting storylines up, making sure that you say the right thing at a certain time or, like, whatever. And, again, like, all of the challenges are acting challenges mostly. So like it puts anyone that's not a super strong English speaker in a really precarious situation, and it sucks. You know, and a lot of times, and it's mainly why I've had this kind of like stance on it, is because they always do that to the Puerto Rican girls that they bring on the show. Now they started to bring, like, I guess more Puerto Rican queens that have a better grasp of English. But before, they would literally just bring on girls that, like, maybe took an ESOL class, like, one time. And then they make a fool out of them. Like, they put them in all these challenges where they have to act or read a script or whatever. And then they do terribly. And then they send them home. I'm like, why would you even...
And they'll do things like, oh, impersonate this, like, white mainstream gay icon.
Exactly.
Like, we have this conversation with standardized testing. Why can't we talk about this with faggots? Like, girl, every one of us grew up idolizing the same motherfucker. Some of us weren't even the same type of gay when we were growing up, if we were gay growing up, because if whether we were allowed to be ourselves or not. Like, it's so sad that, like, a show that's about transforming gender, you know, representation and, like, transforming sort of, like, the whole conversation about what you should be wearing is so stuck in its ways when it comes to, like, not giving space for girls to just, like, actually represent who they really are on screen in the lens of RuPaul. Like, I find that so stupid. Like, the whole shit with Plastique Tiara and, you know, her not understanding certain references and shit. Like, that kind of stuff gets on my damn nerves with the show.
Okay, but how do you not know who Mariah Carey is in the country of the most, like, Mariah Carey lip syncers and impersonators in the world? Honey.
The Asians do love Mariah Carey.
Honey.
And they impersonate her singing all the time.
I will say that, though. Like, they really do expect a certain level of pop culture aptitude, I guess. Yeah, like, you have to have a certain baseline level of, like, common knowledge when it comes to public, you know, people and celebrities and stuff. And that's kind of annoying because, again, like, not everyone has the same experience, especially when you bring in people that aren't even from this country.
And also, just, like, it doesn't leave space for actual queerness. It's kind of like gay TV as opposed to queer TV, which is, I think, something that is probably not even worth bringing up because, at the end of the day, that's not RuPaul's endeavor anyway. RuPaul isn't trying to be, like, a queer icon. RuPaul is a gay icon for the most part. But, like, in my opinion, what I want is, like, I want us to be challenging and, like, disrupting and, like, making a spectacle of things that don't fit in the, like, mainstream sort of fabric of society. And I just don't think that's, like, the goal of the show. And that's why I always find myself so stressed out when I watch it too much, because I'm just like, oh, you're so annoying. Like, this is not what we need to be worrying about right now. Like, can she just look cute in the dress?
Yeah. Like, yeah, that's literally what it boils down to, honestly. Mm-mm. But yeah. Bon voyage, au revoir, Nikki Doll.
Yeah, and thank you all for tuning in. I think this episode was pretty good drama-wise. The challenge was okay. And yeah, hopefully next week we don't see one of our best girls going, because now we're pretty much down to all the good girls except for Britta and Aiden.
I'm telling you, if they're not in the bottom two next week, I'm riding.
Can I ask the Oracle a question, girl?
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, let me take out the divining cards. Hold on.
Okay, girl. Let me know when you're ready.
Wait. Hold on. I'm breaking out the new set. Okay. All right. Go. Okay,
who's out next week and who's the top?
Top. You know what?
It's also Snatch Game. So
I think the top is going to be probably Sherry and Jackie.
Very likely.
And then the bottom will most likely be Aiden. And maybe Jada.
Ooh, Jada. Ooh.
Because the reason why I say that is because I think, like, Jada's been riding on a high, but as the acting challenges start coming out and the things where she's not excelling in 100%, it's gonna come at her. And I think Britta's finally gonna have, like, maybe a breakthrough where she can actually sit there and do something. And maybe she might have it. I think the mid-tier girls will be like Gigi and Crystal. I think Heidi will most likely do like an Akira and just kind of ride through with the Tiffany Haddish, but like not really go off.
Probably.
You're not wrong, but stop.
But yeah.
I could see Jackie being good at this. I feel like she has kind of like an older knowledge of pop culture.
And this is so this is Jackie's New York job. I was
going to say, isn't Jackie
kind of... She runs a cabaret show in New York City, like, every night for all ages. She doesn't just do, like, adult club shows. She does cabarets for all ages in the daytime.
I think she will be doing... She'll do very well. And then Sherry's just an animated person, so I think she'll do very well, too. I think I have faith in Jada, though. I think her issue is that she can't do scripts. But if she's falling on her own knowledge that's in her brain, I think she might be able to pull it together.
I see you with that. Mm. That's a good point. I think both of you are right there, because 100%, if this has anything to do with what she was doing this week, she's going to have the same problems that she had.
Yeah.
But if she chooses a great character, like, honestly, I would love to see a Whitney. I know Whitney's like a tried and true, like, black, you know, cornerstone of like this type of a competition, but I feel like her Whitney would be crazy. If she did it right.
Whitney's been done three times already.
I know, it's because that's what I'm saying. Like, I think it's so standard for like a girl like her to do it, but it would be so cute.
I don't know. Whitney and Beyonce are the two celebrities you just don't want to touch in Snatch Game, because it's gonna be a fucking mess. My head. It's gonna be a disaster.
What do you think she should do?
Oh gosh.
Because we know Tiffany Haddish is taken if Dolce's right.
You know who she was giving me in the wig that she did this episode in like the main challenge, she was giving me that divorce, divorce judge. I forget what her name is. She has a show.
Yes. The one with the wheelchair person, and they were like, "Oh, Miss Toller."
Yes.
That's a good one. Okay,
Caputo. That's what when I saw that wig, I was like, "Oh wait, you're kind of giving me like Judge Toller. Like okay. You're kind of serving it."
Okay. Her name ain't Miss Girl.
She's terrible.
I can see her. I can see her slaying that. I can see it.
Okay, Miss Girl. So that shit cracks me up. Oh my god. What about you, Julio? Who do you think she should do?
Is like I said before, I'm down 2 points on the Kinsey, so I don't know if I have the most, you know, authoritative, you know, queer opinion on this. You know, but I think you're actually spot on. I definitely expect Sherry to continue doing well, which is why we get that legendary disclaimer every fucking episode, because Sherry is a force in the competition. It is what it is. If it isn't Jackie Cox, it would definitely be Gigi Good. Gigi Good has the chops, or Jan.
I think Jan's gonna do well too.
Those girls,
I have a feeling.
It's like all the white girls this season are legendary white girls. I will have to give it to you.
Yeah. They're from like the peak mountains of Caucasia. Like they are there.
Crystal's girl.
I just hate how good Gigi is. Like I know. The thing is, she walked in and I wanted to hate her, but every episode she's doing so good. This Margot Robbie performance that she gave me, I really wanted her to just get in and just do the Vogue Margot Robbie thing where she was doing American Psycho and like pulling off the thing off her face. Like I think Gigi is so good.
Gigi is
she's sickening.
Like good is the exact word. Like the girl is just made for the competition. The competition was made for her. And you can't even be mad that she's playing the game so damn well. It's like the girl was literally just built for this shit. Just built. So yeah, if she doesn't kill it, I would be actually kind of surprised, because she's got some like hidden acting chops. I think the girls were talking about that too. Is like Gigi's kind of good at everything. Like she's not just like a fashion pretty girl, you know, like fishy body type of bitch. Like the girl is actually talented and compelling and like charming us on screen too.
Yeah. And she's not an annoying like white twink that's talking.
Exactly.
She actually gives me something. Like when she was talking to, I hate to extend this, but when she was talking to Nikki about taking the baby role, it wasn't her being malicious. I felt like she, like the way she talks, it just seemed like she was really thinking it out for her.
It was genuine.
I'm a mama's boy, so I'm like, let me meet this girl's mom. It must be the mom. Like anyone who has a loving, supporting drag biological mother must really just have life must hit different when your mom is like putting you in dresses and shit, girl.
Yeah, and being white,
girl, that's let me not get into this.
I hope that hits. So thank you all for joining us. It was great talking to you all, and hopefully next week we see some bitches get out. Bye. Thank you for tuning into this episode of For Filth. Please follow us on all relevant social media platforms at For Filth Podcast to gain more content and hear way more messy antics from the cast. We're also available on our personal social media linked in the description and at forfilth.net.